strength and healing power. There's fire. There's fire, fire, fire in the house. There's fire, fire, fire in the house where the strength and healing power. There's fire. There's fire, fire, fire in the house. There's fire, fire, fire in the house where the strength and healing power. There's fire. I know what my God wants to do. Wants to free me and you. Standing on the solid rock, there's fire. Riding high on the wings of praise, I want the power of the Lord in me every day. Standing in this place today, there's fire. He is the Lord Almighty. Just believe in his name, and he'll restart the rain. Fire, fire, fire in the house. There's fire, fire, fire in the house. For the strength and healing power, there's fire. There's fire, fire, fire in the house. There's fire, fire. What my God wants to do, he wants to free me and you. Standing on the solid rock, there's fire. Riding high on the wings of praise, I want the power of the Lord in me every day. Standing in this place today, there's fire. He is the Lord Almighty. Just believe in his name, and he'll restart the flame. Fire, fire, fire in the house. There's fire, fire, fire in the house. Where there's strength and healing power, there's fire. There's fire, fire, fire in the house. There's fire, fire, fire in the house.
Catch your breath, take a sip of water, and here we go.
We shall see, we shall see, we shall see, we shall see. There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or afternoon. There'll be a wedding of the bride, united with the groom. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power.
This is my story.
Praising my Savior. Jesus, your name is power, breath of living water, such a marvelous mystery. We so adore the presence of your Holy Spirit this morning. Lord, would you move and work and speak and touch? Just pray that you would have your way in this place today. God, that you would be honored and glorified and exalted on high. We lift up your holy name, Lord Jesus. For you are holy, holy, holy. Praise your name, Father God. Lord, I know there are a great number of needs represented here this morning, and we certainly take a moment to lift them up to you and pray that you would speak to people and touch their lives and their situations, that you would bring healing and wholeness. Lord, I thank you for another successful procedure, surgery for Sue, and pray that you would continue to minister to her body and bring healing and wholeness. I continue to lift up Claudia, my mother-in-law, and ask that you would minister to her, Lord. Father, I think of
Mark's friend who needs a touch and needs ministering to, and just pray that you would speak there, Lord. And I know there's many other needs represented here this morning, and we don't want to forget those or neglect those, but Lord, there is just such a peaceful presence of your Holy Spirit here this morning. Lord, we just want to worship you. We just want to take in all that you have for us. We just want to enjoy the power and presence of you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, 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 break every chain. We sing the name Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There's an army,
there's an army rising up, there's an army rising up. An army rising up
to break every chain, 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 break every chain.
We sing the name Jesus,
name above all names, Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus. You break every chain, 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 break every chain.
Folks, there is none better. There is none higher. There is none more worthy to be praised than Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Amen. God is good. All the time. Remember that. Believe that. Trust that. We are going to take a look at probably one of the most popular verses or sets of scripture that there is within the Bible. I know we all have different verses we like and ones that have spoken to us, but there are some that just many, 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 many people have memorized or listened to or you know, trusted in over time. This is six short verses. Again, many have committed it to memory. And so let's just dive in and read it. I'm sure you've guessed by now. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. I first dove in to this particular psalm, this particular text, way back when I was in the singles group. I was late teens, early 20s. We were going through this together, and the leader at that time asked me to lead this particular chapter that we were going through in our study, and I was petrified, first of all. But I came across a book that I have cherished to this day. And it's written by an individual named Philip Keller. It's an older book, but it's called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. If you ever want to dive in to that book, I would highly recommend it to you. We are going to get bits and pieces of it over the next few weeks. I'll share some insight with you. Incredible book when it comes to this particular set of scripture, this particular psalm. If you've been a believer for any amount of time and you've read scripture, you know that there are just tons and tons of references throughout scripture about sheep and shepherds. There's literally hundreds of references if you do a search through scripture. And it's no mistake that we are called sheep, and that Jesus is referred to as our shepherd. That is simply not a mistake. If we can simply begin to understand the similarities between us and sheep, all of those scriptures will take on new meaning to us in our lives. All of those references, all of those ideas will make so much more sense to us if we can simply just start to understand those similarities. I'm going to take just a quick couple of minutes this morning to talk about the author of this particular psalm. Now, yes, we all know the true author is the Holy Spirit. He is the one who inspired human beings to put pen to paper, or quill to parchment, if you will. But the human, the man that listened and wrote this particular psalm, was himself a shepherd. His name was David, King David. That's typically how we refer to him, as King David, and he was an incredible king. But he spent years of his early young life raising sheep, taking care of sheep, being himself a shepherd. So while this man was a king, he wrote it from the perspective of a shepherd. And he did that for our benefit. He was intimately familiar with the relationship between sheep and shepherd. So instead of writing it from this glorious king's perspective, he wrote it from a lowly shepherd's perspective. And that was done so that every one of us could understand. You know, we don't stop and think about those perspectives all that much. You know, we don't understand the decisions that people in supreme authority make. We don't understand the pressures that David felt as a king. We don't. We can read about some of it. We can start to understand or grasp a little bit of it. But until you're in that position, you don't have a clue. You know, we can yell and moan and bellyache all day long about whoever the president of the United States is. But until we would be in that position, we have no clue what they're dealing with. We have no clue the information they have to process or what they have to go through. Just remember that. I think that's important for us to grab onto. David wrote this particular psalm as a shepherd, from a shepherd's perspective, so that all of us could glean from it and apply it and understand it. Now, in our modern day American lives, let's be 100% truthful. You and I do not have a concept of what it means to raise or herd or shepherd sheep. How many of you have been a shepherd? How many of you have sheep in your backyard? How many of you have studied what it means to take care of sheep? Nor have I. That's just not common for us. That's not something most of us would do. Yes, there are some that would have a good understanding of that, but most of us do not. So this is one of those subjects that it's okay to say we're ignorant about. I'm ignorant about raising sheep or being a shepherd. We simply don't understand it. So let's do a little bit of comparison here and see what we can learn from this whole concept of sheep and shepherds. Now, as we talk through Psalm 23, the whole time we're going through this, I can't possibly touch on every detail that we could possibly learn from this psalm, but I want you to think about how this could apply to you personally. We're going to talk about sheep. We're going to learn about sheep and shepherding or the shepherds. But how does that apply to you in your life personally? If you consider yourself a sheep, think about the shepherd's perspective and what it might say to you. Or learn what it might mean to be a sheep yourself. So let's go through this a little bit. One of the first things David says, I shall not be in want. Whew, that's a tough one right off the bat, isn't it? I shall not be in want. Now, you need to know that statement actually has nothing to do with material goods, has nothing to do with status or possessions of any kind, but it's actually a statement about contentment. Learning to be content. Learning to be satisfied. A good shepherd will take a look at what's ahead for his sheep. He knows his flock. He knows his flock's needs before the flock ever even realizes what their needs are. Before the flock realizes what needs to come next. The shepherd is already ahead of his sheep, scouting things out, looking, paying attention, looking for the next pasture land, looking for the next area to graze and to have food, looking for the safest road to travel and the way to get from where we are to where it is that we need to be next. The shepherd is doing all of that ahead of time for his sheep. What are my sheep's needs? What do I need to be thinking about? What is best for my flock? The shepherd has some huge responsibilities there, doesn't he? He wants to keep his sheep content. He wants to keep his sheep free from worry or fear or needs or any of that stuff. The shepherd, the good shepherd, understand, we're talking about Jesus here. The good shepherd wants to provide for his sheep, you and I. And he's looking ahead to take care of things that you and I don't even understand yet, that you and I don't even realize yet. And he's looking ahead to bring us the very best possible. God wants to do all of that for us. He knows the best path for us between here and there, between now and then, between today and tomorrow. He knows the best path, and he is constantly looking ahead to provide for us so that we might learn to be content. So that we're not anxious, so that we're not worried, so that we're not living in fear, so that we're not overwhelmed, but so that we are content, accepting each moment and each day as it comes and what it brings to us, for us. We, as the sheep, need to trust our shepherd, that he has his eyes looking ahead for us, preparing the way for us. All we have to do is learn how to follow. Just learn how to follow. Hear our shepherd's voice and go as our shepherd calls us to go. You know, it's interesting. Sheep and shepherds, shepherds will often bring their flocks together. So there could be multiple flocks together, 2, 3, 4 shepherds, whatever necessary. But when they go to split, the sheep know who to follow. They know the shepherd's voice. And every shepherd's voice is different. Yet those sheep know who to follow. They hear and they go. Again, I know we're unfamiliar with sheep, but I would challenge you, think about the comparison between us and sheep. I would challenge you this morning. Find me anytime, anywhere, scripture, history, unlimited resources. You find me a place where the sheep talk back to the shepherd. You find me a time when the sheep discover the shepherd was lying. Scripture talks about a donkey rebuking man, but I don't remember reading about a sheep rebuking man. Sheep learn. Sheep follow. Sheep desire to be with their shepherd. And when they have a good shepherd, they don't worry or fret or fear or live in anxiety, or wonder what's next. They trust their shepherd, and they learn to be content with what the shepherd has brought them. Now, let's be honest, let's be clear. This does not mean that no kind of difficulty will ever arise for the sheep. The wolf is still the sheep's enemy. The wolf will still pursue the sheep. The wolf will still go after that prey, if you will. just like our enemy is constantly going to come after us. You know, when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we professed our faith, it didn't put up some magical metal door that stopped the enemy from getting to us. The enemy still attacks. The enemy still comes at us. Even though the sheep are in the pen and their shepherd is nearby, the wolf still tries to get to them. He still tries to attack them. But the sheep trust their shepherd for their protection, for their own good, that he's watching out for them, that he's paying attention to them, that he sees the need that's before them, that he sees the possible attack that's there. Is any of this resonating with you? Do you understand what our shepherd does for us? Now, occasionally the shepherd does have to deal with the wandering sheep. Some of those sheep, even though they're in the pen and the shepherd has taken care of them and there's all this food and water and everything else, sometimes there comes a sheep that thinks they know better, that thinks they can figure it out on their own. And occasionally that shepherd has to deal with that wandering sheep, and we're actually going to talk about that more at another time. Because this scripture talks about the rod and the staff, and I just want you to remember those key things this morning. The wandering sheep, the rod and the staff, because we'll get back to that down the road. The sheep, this wandering sheep is one that is still in want. It hasn't learned to be content. It hasn't learned to be satisfied with what the shepherd has given him. This is a sheep that is trying to figure out their own path, their own steps, their own next green pasture land, their own way to get there. Crazy, isn't it, that wandering sheep thinks that they know better than their shepherd? That's no different for us. I can't tell you how many times I've questioned God. And if I get right down to it, it's because I think I know better. It's because I don't trust him. It's because with my eyes, with my mind, I think I know a better way or a shorter cut. Crazy that we think that way, isn't it? David knew that a good shepherd sees his flock's needs, moves to meet his flock's needs, and thinks well ahead of his sheep so that they are not in want, so they are not left thinking about it. All right, let's look at the next statement that David made here. He said, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." That sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Sounds pretty peaceful. That is actually extremely uncommon for sheep. Lying down in the dirt or the green pasture, either one, the idea of lying down is actually unusual for sheep. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it's unusual. A sheep will sleep. On average, sheep will sleep on average about 3.5 hours a day. Now you compare that to man, who on average sleeps about 6, 7, 8 hours a day. I know some of you are more and some of you are less, but on average, we sleep twice as long as sheep do. That's a little crazy to think about, isn't it? Of those 3.5 hours that a sheep sleeps, I'm going to get hung up on that yet. On those 3.5 hours that the sheep sleeps, a vast majority of it is done standing up. Standing up. I know on a rare occasion some of us have fallen asleep standing up, or sitting up anyhow. But a lot of times the sheep will sleep standing up, lying down in the pasture, lying down in the green grass, lying down it, no matter how comfortable the area might be, is not as simple as it sounds for the sheep. So what stops them from getting comfortable? What stops them from lying down and being at rest? There are four primary things that cause a problem for sheep and stop them from lying down. The first one is they need to be free from fear. If a sheep is afraid, specifically of their the predators around them, but if sheep are afraid, if there is fear in them, they will not lie down. They are worried about being attacked. Why? Because a sheep is virtually defenseless. Show me the defense mechanism of a sheep. What do? Yeah. They might make a little noise. But about the only thing a sheep can do is run. It's about the only thing they can do is run. So if there is any concern about a predator or attack, then that idea of being restful or having peace goes away. They won't take it easy. They won't lay down. They would rather sleep standing up out of fear. Part of that is because all they can do is run. And if they got to stand up first, they just lost ground. Fear. They got to be free from fear. And not just the predator, but one sheep in a pen can cause panic for all the other sheep. So if one sheep freaks out, the whole rest of the flock could be in trouble because they think something's going on. They think there's a reason that they need to be paying attention and getting ready to run because one of their fellow sheep has been scared. Now, I will say that one of the things that helps the sheep is when they know the shepherd is nearby. If they know their shepherd is with them, they are less concerned about an attack. They seem to be less worried or less fearful about the wolf around them because they know and they can sense the presence of their shepherd. Secondly, they must feel safe within their own flock. They must feel safe within their own flock. Sheep cause friction with each other. Well, that doesn't sound like us at all, does it? Sheep cause friction. And I'm going to say it, us older, stronger sheep tend to be territorial. We tend to protect. We tend to guard. We tend not to let others near our grazing patch or our water hole. And we turn a lot of people off that way. We cause a lot of friction that way. We cause a lot of problems that way. When one sheep feels threatened by another sheep, heads begin to butt, so to speak. And there is unrest in the flock. And then there's not going to be ease or peace or comfort for them to lay down. It's just not going to happen. Let's go to the third one. Sheep must be free from flies and parasites. If we don't know anything about sheep, we didn't have a clue that this would be a problem for sheep. But there are certain flies, certain parasites that specifically bother sheep. I mean, I don't like flies in general, especially if I'm outside trying to eat a nice dinner or lunch on my picnic table and the flies are, I can't stand that. They drive me crazy. But there are certain parasites that attack sheep They go after them on a regular basis. And some of those are quite small, but they will quite literally drive the sheep crazy. Literally. They will get into the sheep's body and drive the sheep mad because the parasite attacks the sheep in that way. So sheep cannot rest if these flies and if these parasites are all around them. If the sheep is busy stomping their feet or shaking their head or running to and fro, how are they going to be able to rest? They have to be able to get rid of or be free from those bothersome parasites. Now, I'll leave you another little clue to some future discussion. Remember these flies and parasites when we talk about this, the verse that says he anoints my head with oil. Because that will come into play again later. Should these pests, should these flies, should these parasites be left uncontrolled, they will bring sheep to their deathbed. They will literally kill an entire flock, possibly. As small as these parasites, as small as these little problems are, they can cause mass destruction. A good shepherd knows how important it is to treat his sheep and to keep those flies and parasites at bay. A good shepherd will spend time and effort and money and anything else that's needed to protect his flock, to protect his sheep. They will go to the ends of the earth to help their animals. What did the good shepherd do for us? He anointed our head, but he used his own blood, and he cleansed us, and he provided soothing touch and healing. The fourth thing for the sheep is they must be free of hunger. They must be free from hunger. And this is a huge statement as well. Because as long as the sheep thinks he needs to eat, he will eat. He will just keep grazing. No specific need to eat other than it thinks it needs to eat. They won't be content if they think they need to eat. Having that green pasture land, having that abundance of food out in front of them is extremely important. That's one of the reasons the shepherd is always looking ahead to make sure that the next path, the next stop, the next place is prepared and ready for his sheep so that he can get them there before the sheep think they need to get there. That's, again, the shepherd's job. That's what the shepherd does for them. It is incredibly beneficial for his sheep. Let them know that there's plenty of food. Move them ahead so that they can learn to be content. So that they can learn that they don't have to eat it all because it's going to be gone and they'll never have food again. Their need, their desire to eat will actually keep them on their feet. If we learn to listen to our shepherd, if the sheep learn to listen to their shepherd, if we learn to trust the shepherd, not only will we be content, but that contentment will bring us rest. It'll bring us peace. Again, that's a whole nother message. That's a whole nother series. But remember, peace is not the same as happiness. We can have troubles and trials and struggles in life and still know peace. I've shared before, peace actually has a name. His name is Jesus. Our shepherd will work to keep us content, bring us peace, help us to be at rest in this troublesome life that we live. David, being a shepherd himself, chose his words purposefully and carefully when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." When we start to discern or understand that sheep-shepherd relationship, this psalm is just going to come alive to us. It's going to take on, no matter how many times you've read it or heard it or anything else, if you can dig deep into this relationship, it'll speak to you in a different way than it ever has before. It'll mean more to you than it ever has before. All the references of sheep and shepherd throughout Scripture will be different to you, will speak differently to you. Today I'm going to leave you with part of a little article that I read. A gal by the name of Bethany Hayes. She is an author. She is a I believe she has her master's degree. She's a Bible study teacher in Oregon. But she posted an article, and I'm going to read just a little portion of that article for you today. She writes, "Ever wonder why God calls us sheep so much? We can be just as foolish and helpless. We easily stray. We can't be left to ourselves. All of these are obvious reasons, but I think there's more to it. I think he calls us sheep because that's the way we were made. He made us to need him that much. Here are five reasons why God calls his people sheep. Sheep weren't made to carry burdens. You will never see a sheep carrying a pack on its back. Other animals are good for carrying things, but not sheep. Sheep can't handle burdens. Sheep can't defend themselves. When a sheep is frightened, the only thing he knows to do is to run. Other animals were made with defense mechanisms, but not sheep. Sheep are not able to defend themselves. Sheep can't find their own way. When sheep are lost, they are unable to find their way home again. Other animals were made with instinct so that they can do that, but not sheep. Sheep have trouble finding the right way. Sheep are content with whatever satisfies. When sheep are thirsty, they will stop and drink at a mud puddle, even when clean, still water is nearby. Sheep are content with the filth so long as it satisfies. A good shepherd always knows what's better and what's best, but not sheep. Sheep will take whatever they can get. Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need a constant overseer. Other animals can fend for themselves, but not sheep. Sheep need a shepherd whose life work is to care for his sheep. They need someone to protect, defend, lead, guide, and provide for them at all times. And we have that in God, whose name is Jehovah Ra. The Lord is my shepherd. He calls his people sheep because we need a shepherd, and we need him just that much. We are going to work through this psalm for a little bit. So as we study Psalm 23, my hope, my prayer is that we can begin to understand and appreciate a little bit more just why we are called sheep. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your fold, to be in your pen. I thank you that you are our shepherd, our good, our great shepherd. I thank you that you meet our every need and take care of us. And you are working to teach us contentment and give us rest if we will just trust in you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to watch over us, continue to lead us and teach us and help us to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all.